Blog Talk Radio.
Monday, you're listening to The Garden of Enlightenment with Louie Wildove and Grey Eyes Smith. And tonight's show is brought to you by a group on allpoetry.com called Late Night Poets. And we have anthologies available on amazon.com under the same moniker. So if you'd like to support these shows, feel free to check those out as they are filled with poetry from around the world and donated poetry to help support these shows. So, that said, I'm going to get to tonight's show, which is open poetry, and I'm going to check the phone lines real quick here. Louie Wildove, welcome to the show.
Hey, Gray. Hey, Robbie out there hanging out.
How are you doing today?
So, I would be a lot happier if I didn't have issues with my computer, but it kind of froze, so I'm going to need your help, and I'm so happy you're my co-host because I love you.
Yep. All right, I'm going to post the first poem here to you, if you wouldn't mind. Once you see it.
Okay. Okay, let me. Dancing on Thin Ice by Lynn Gauthier. The heart is always right, unless this time is wrong, and this time is not like all the others. This game, he must not lose. Too much at risk, no room for error. Is it worth the risk? Has he hit the point of no return? Is it really worth the venture? If it's a go, execution must be meticulous. Indeed, the stakes are high. This gamble must be calculated. Pros and cons be tallied. Well thought through in every detail. Arsenal of charm and tactics gone out on a limb, a joyride down a slippery slope, jeopardizing the crown, winner take it all in pursuit of the gauntlet. Ripple effect of a backlash, a chain reaction hanging in the balance. This sort of entanglement, not for the foolhardy, it's no sitcom for buffoons. At the slightest hiccup, fallout could be disastrous. Will he roll the dice? At that point, does temptation become obsession and seriously cloud all judgment? Precarious and unpredictable, impetuous and highly flammable, the repercussions for frivolity. The high cost of caprice, revere, and long-term aftiness, risky business. In poem.
Wow, beautiful read, Leah. And this is a deep poem, you know, it speaks to, you know, looking in the mirror and facing the world in front of you at the same time as behind you. You know, at the slightest hiccup, fallout could be disastrous. Will he roll the dice? At what point does temptation become obsession and seriously cloud all judgment? Yeah, just a haunting poem. Very insightful and deep. What did you think, Leah?
Well, when I read the poem, it made me go back and look at the picture the second time, because this is somebody who had that serious look on his face. He's well-tailored. It appears he's got expensive clothes. And he reminds me of 007 James Bond. He's getting ready for some type of dare, some type of issue. He's putting it all on the line. And, you know, I guess sometimes when you do this type of work, it does become an obsession. And I really like that stanza, at what point does temptation become obsession? You know, that call of the dare where people just live to that excitement. Excellent poem line.
Absolutely. Great comment, Leah. Okay, I'm going to post the next poem here. And this is called Fractured by Cedar Chapman. I'm going to post the link. Here we go. Okay, this is Fractured by Cedar Chapman. A fractured reflection stares at me. It is an unrecognizable face with wrinkles that run deep into its skull. Each line tells its own story. Each blemish transitions to another arc. Skin creases stack and crush one another like broken paragraphs etched by someone else. Rows of plastic bottles live behind this cracked mirror. Pill by pill, day after day, I follow the breadcrumb trail, trying to find my way back to the vibrant, free blackbird that once looked back at me from the other side. Today I walk the beach alone, holding a cup of coffee. Sea foam effervesces between my toes and my feet imprint the wet sand. Forward, one step, then another, I hear my old voice again. It echoes with the gulls and ocean waves as sunshine warms my face. I shall write my own chapters now. I am here to stay. End poem. And I liked it. You know, it has wonderful imagery and powerful metaphors. You know, you're living your day by day, pill by pill, and it's allowing you to get through the trouble that, you know, weighs you down in life until finally you walk the beach alone holding a cup of coffee as you see your wet prints in the sand, and then forward one step, then another. And then your voice comes back. It echoes with gulls and ocean waves. And sunshine warms your face. You shall write your own chapters now. You're here to stay. Yeah, a beautiful poem. What did you think, Lou?
You know, he immediately catches your eye with this title. And it just makes you want to go inside and see how expressive this person is when they put it on the line and they express themselves. I really liked the first three lines. A fractured reflection stares at me. It's an unrecognizable face with wrinkles that run deep into its skull. You know, it's just the deep thought and the agony that someone puts us through, or how someone makes us feel, or how someone has hurt us deeply. I thought this was a very, very good poem. I liked, we have to find a place to go to heal, and nature always heals us. And I really liked that, the visuals of the last stanza. He can write his own chapters, and he can go where he wants to go.
Absolutely. Great comment, Lou. Thank you. Okay, I'm posting the next poem, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay. This is titled Song of the Poet by Blue to You. How musical the roof sings with rain, the fall of thunder on my window pane. Let us hide away in the dark of the storm, while the stars steal away, as though a secret stored quietly within, a heart of flowers to bloom once again. The walk on the night's tender grass, under the shedding summer moon, the stars we saw hanging so very still, dance like falling spring rain. My high, we wandered on those sleepless nights. Our dreams awoke beneath the musical note. As daylight fell into the eyes, the stars' passions grew to savor the taste of splendor in your eyes, as clear as crystal rain showers. So strange to recall the past in the present eye, or stroll on the grass of yesterday once more, to see the hovering light, dim and bright, glow in the sun and moonlight, resting in your eye. And poem.
Beautiful read, Leah. And I like the poem. You know, it's the heart of the poet. You know, it really resonates with our dreams, you know, awoken beneath the musical notes. As daylight fell into our eyes, the star's passion grew to savor the taste of splendor in our eyes, as clear as crystal rain showers. Yeah, just beautiful sentiment in this. I enjoyed it very much. What did you think, Leah?
Well, what I liked about it was very romantic. It was lovely. It was visual. It was her stanzas were just so soft, and I really enjoyed that. And you could just see everything progress She's listening to the rain outside and her mind's wandering the past memories. And I really liked how she put in the second to last stanza to savor the taste of splendor in our eyes as clear as crystal rain showers. You know, how the passion grew. And then she expanded that in her last stanza. And I just thought it was just gorgeous. I really loved that entire stanza.
Great comment. Thank you. I'm going to bring on another caller here.
Okay.
Hello, Bobby, and welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hey, Bobby.
And what?
Long time no see, girl.
Yeah, it's been hours.
I know, I'm teasing. Welcome to the show. Bobby is one of our hosts. If you would like to say anything about some contests you've got coming up, Bobby.
Oh, actually, I was working today on the next one that's going to be up is, let me say, quickly pull this up without embarrassing myself. Let's see. Oh, here we go. Okay, contests, draft rights, because I've been trying to pull together. Ah, the surreal storytelling of André Ferrez. And since we've got October hot on our heels, this is going to be an interesting contest because this guy has so much stuff that I'm doing a twofer. We're going to do a two back-to-back contests with same artist. And we're going to have the whole month of October is going to be with André Ferrez. And so I hope people have a lot of fun because he's got some really diverse stuff and it's creepy and it's storytelling and it's surreal. So I hope everyone has a good time with it.
That's awesome.
Thank you. Bobby, did you? Yeah, go ahead, Craig.
No, I was just asking. No, I can't remember. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But I'll be posting that this week, the first one.
Yeah, I was just asking what she was.
And this Saturday we'll have, let me back up, we have a contest closing this week, and it is my hand can't move fast enough, the Dreamlike Digital Images of Katrine Welschstein, and we've got about 14 entries. We're going to leave it open for a day or two longer, and that's going to be our program content for this coming Saturday.
Sounds great. Okay, Lou, I've got the next poem up.
Did you want to ask if, I'm sorry, Bobby, did you get to hear the poem before I hand it back to Gray?
I did not. I did not. More is the pity because I heard the comments, and it sounds like it was beautiful.
Yes, it was. Okay.
But thank you for
thank
letting
you,
me. Thank you, Betty, can you let me burble a little bit about my contest?
Any day. Anytime.
Absolutely. And, Bobby, would you mind reading the next poem, please?
You know, I live for that request. The Age of Machines by C. Wee Cushion. Is that what we're doing, The Age of Machines?
Yes.
By C. Wee Cushion, whose real name is Kyle, I found out. His grandfather nicknamed him Pee-wee when he was a child. Age of Machines. Yeah, I asked him. I said, did your parents not like you?
That's cute.
Age of Machines. And this is for a contest by Dan DeShino. In the shadow of the suns, the world keeps spinning on. Autonomy breeds a new day. In spite of this fatal haze, nuclear fallout is all that's found. There is no life to look around. A faint motor begins whirring, soil of the earth now stirring. From up beneath, underneath the sands, out first come some hands. Head pops out into noxious air, gets his lead out with great care. Geiger counter keeps on humming. There are no soldiers drumming, not a thing to be heard anymore, like there was times before. All that was had been obliterated, unquenchable desire sated, marching out into the great unknown, stepping through the mines unblown. What should would now never be? What should would now never be? Surface on offering nothing left to see, no fly on the wall, no bug, no ball, no or cars or calls, no, nothing at all. Yet down underneath the surface, great life continues to flourish, built on top of man's broken dreams. This is now the age of machines. In the visage of some pterodactyls, millions buzzing, the undersky full, bringing demise to all organics, microscopic death mechanics. Meanwhile, back on the surface, our last man has lost his purpose, comes quickly apart at the seams, lead paint sands with his dreams. Welcome to the age of machines. End poem.
Beautiful read, Bobby. And I mean, that's a powerful poem on the subject of the ending of mankind, you know, and the birth of machines. That's a harrowing thought to imagine the world being taken over by our machines that we created. And, you know, it's definitely a possibility that could exist, you know. Machines taking over the world is a haunting thought. So beautifully written and well read, Bobby. And Louie, what did you think?
I thought Bobby did a fantastic job in reading this. I just thought this was, it was like, what was the name of that show with, he would go, danger, Will Robinson, danger.
Lost in space.
Yes. It was so lost in space. And then it also had a kid of that, those old sci-fi black and white movies from the, you know, the late 50s and 60s. You know, I could just see all this stuff going on. You know, the earth is destroyed. I loved his rhyme throughout, the noxious air. And then, you know, of course, every time you got to get out, you got a Geiger counter, everything to make sure you can breathe, whether you're a cyborg or a machine, you know what? You don't want something eating your bones or your gear. And, you know, and then he talked about the pterodactyls, and that just, oh, my God, I just thought this was fabulous. I really enjoyed this. It made me smile.
And a great comment, Lee. Thank you. And, Bobby, what did you think?
Reminded me of H.G. Wells' story, The Shape of Things to Come. And I think it was also a film from the 30s. It prophesies the demise of man, the man's self-destruction through his own invention, and then the rise again of man and survival. But implies that it, with all of this effort, man has never learned anything. And so I think that his writing, very dystopian, very dark, very surreal. But you could easily pick the way he describes it. Very easy to picture, very easy to visualize with his descriptions. All that has been obliterated, man on unquenchable desire sated, marching out into the great unknown. And it has that, it almost has also a, it's like a head-on collision between H.G. Wells and Ray Bradbury. It has that flavor. We've lost our world. What are we going to do now? Type thing, but it's very well written and great storytelling. And this is very, very dark, and like the last, welcome to the age of machines, because I don't think we realize just how dependent we are on them now. So very well written.
Absolutely, Bobby, and I'd like to welcome Weaver to the show. Hello, Kate.
Hello. Good evening. Good morning.
Hey, Weaver.
Hello, my darling. How is everybody?
Gray Eyes and Bobby.
Hello, all of you, and nice to be here.
Happy to have you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. Okay, I'm going to grab the next poll here. And if you wouldn't mind reading this for us, Kate, that would be great.
No problem. Well, I say no problem. I use that term lightly because this is going up again. Everything I touch turns to dust. I'll be with you in a moment. Sorry, it's not coming up yet. Oh, my goodness me. See, I shouldn't have. Do you have an hour or two? I won't be long. I don't believe it. I do not. It's like I have this magnetic field that whenever I touch anything that's electrical or technical or technical, I get up. No, I'm sorry. It's just not coming up. I'm going to have to refresh and refresh. Could you ask someone else, hon? I'm sorry.
Okay, I'll give this a read. This is called Wouldn't Change a Thing by Poeta de Cabra. May as well walk in front of a truck or jump off the edge of a cliff. Spend all your time moping around, wondering what if. Too late now to lose any sleep. Take care. Don't let in the rigor mortis. Remember, if the hare didn't stop for a shit, he'd actually have beaten the tortoise. Too late now to change anything. Our cards have already been played. Only reason we are where we are is because of the choices we made. If you could actually go back in time, would you really know how far? Nothing would ever be the same. So I guess leave things as they are. We all do the wrong thing at times. But my friend, there's the breaks. Can't change it once it has happened. But we can certainly learn from mistakes. Might have drank too much, taken drugs, or even smoked filthy cigarettes. Yesterday is dead. Tomorrow's a new day. Breathe in. Enjoy life without the regrets. Some of our past may still haunt us. Perhaps we were once a disgrace. But there is still time to find happiness. Only need to look in the right place. Wouldn't go back to change any one thing. On my past, I promise never to dwell. If things were different, I'd not be here writing poetry and being happy as hell. Should I have stopped or kept going? Turned left, it could have turned right. If I had done things a little bit different, then I might not even be here tonight. Was a wild boy when I was younger. Drank, smoked, party, and got into strife. Wouldn't want to change a thing, though. Might not have met the love of my life and home. I liked it. I mean, you know, it's a reflective piece on life that we've lived and the choices that we've made that have brought us to where we are happy today. So we wouldn't change any of that to change our future, you know, by going back into the past. So I thought it was a wonderful way. Very well done. Louis Wildove, what are your thoughts?
You know, I really like this poem. For me, it seems like a personal rite of thoughts were just flowing. You know, he was right. You can't go back and change something that's been done because it's already been done. But what I really liked was where he said, you know, did I learn from my mistakes? You know, and he says, can't change it once it's happened. But can I certainly learn from my mistakes? And obviously, this was a growing process. And just like all of us, when we're young, we grow, we develop, we learn right from wrong, hopefully. And, you know, and we also learn to protect ourselves. So, you know, there's something to protect from the past. There's something that we can change from the past to better ourselves. And, you know, and because he did change, he met the love of his life.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Lee. Thank you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I enjoyed it thoroughly. I like the I like the way it questions, you know, what would we do differently. There was an episode of Star Trek: The Next Generation that posed that question, and Picard, in his youth, was wild and reckless. The captain, was almost fatally injured and had to have a heart replacement. Well, he always regretted that. So one of the characters called Q lets him go back into his past and change that. And when he comes forward back into the future, realize he is totally a different person. His career has gone differently. He doesn't have the responsibility he had. The changes from that were profound, and he realized that wanting to change that one incident changed who he was. And so the crux of the whole thing being, we are the sum of our experiences, and even the ones that were not successful or the ones that didn't turn out well, we still learned something from them. So nothing is for naught. It's all valuable experience. And if we learn to take it, like he says on his last stanza, should I have stopped it? Or when I was a wild boy, when I was younger, wouldn't have changed a thing, might not have met the love of my life. Yeah. And there he is right there. Yeah. He wouldn't have changed a thing. So I really like the path that this took.
It doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
There has to be a story.
Yeah, exactly. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I thought it was absolutely brilliant. I just thought it was so cool. That big, profound question, what if? We all live with it. We all think about it. What if? What would happen? I'm sorry, I'm hearing some other voice as well while I'm talking. Is anybody else hearing
like
that?
Like a TV.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. As long as you can hear me, or you can hear that, I'm not going crazy. Thank you. Yes, brilliant. I wish we could. My premise has always been we should be born old and then gradually get younger. So then when we get to our teenage years, we have all that experience and we don't cock it up. Perfect. And then when you're really, really tiny, you go and find yourself a womb with a view. Perfect. That's the way it should be. But this is lovely. And I love that last stanza. Was a wild boy when I was younger. Drink, smoke, party and get into strife. Wouldn't want to change a thing, though. Might not have met the love of my life. Isn't that lovely? So, yes, beautifully written, and thank you very much.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Meaver. And I'd like to welcome area code 219 to the show. Oh, they dropped. Okay.
Or they got dropped.
You
can always call back. Sometimes our lines are messed up with all these storms. So if for whatever reason you get dropped, because even the host and the co-host will get dropped, please call back.
Yeah, I believe it was, I can't think of who it was. Okay, so would you mind reading the next one, please, Weaver?
Yes, of course. I've got myself all set up again. It's wonderful. The day. Ah, okay. I dreamt of the day that I get to see you. When we finally get to meet face to face. I've been waiting so long for a girl like you to come into my life to make me feel alive. Making my sunrise and my sunset, that is nice and wise, and I will never forget. For you are the one who makes me whole. You've captured my heart and touched my soul. You always know just what to say. Just talking to you makes my day. You are everything I could ever need and more than I deserve or would dare to wish for. You are an amazing person. Without you, I don't know where I'd be. Having you in my life completes and fulfills every part of me. End poem.
Oh, that was a beautiful read. And, you know, this is a touching poem, you know, I mean, when somebody comes along and they make us complete, they make us whole, as if, you know, we were existing half full without them. And, you know, they make your sunrise and your sunset, and it's a memory you'll never forget. You know, the power of another person in our lives is just an insanely uplifting, healing in some cases. And I thought it was just a beautiful expression of love and endearment. What did you think, Leah?
I thought this was, you know, it was just a beautiful poem that any girl would want to get and hang up on her wall. And, you know, this is just so heartfelt and so tender. And his imagery in here, you know, he just could not wait to meet her. When he finally did, he, you know, there was that connection. And it says, you know, you came into my life. And I like where he said, to make me feel alive. There's so many beautiful stanzas in here. They're all catching, capturing my heart. And then when he says that, you know, you are everything I could ever need and more than I deserve or would dare wish for, and to just finally find that connection and find somebody who loves and cares for you as much as you do them.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Very, very enduring, very romantic. It's a love letter. It's Billy Doux. It's really very nicely done. It speaks directly from the heart to the person who is the object of love and endearment. And I think it is beautifully, very tenderly written.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. And Weaver, what did you think of the poem that you read?
I thought it was just, it is, the only thing I can think to say is sweet. It didn't bring in any passion. There was no sensuality. Well, I mean, it obviously was, but there was no overt sensuality. It was just a beautiful peon to someone who loved someone so much they were brave enough to open their heart and allow someone else to have that kind of power over them, which is a very, very brave thing to do. I thought it was sweet. Thank you, Mike, for sharing with us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. Okay, Lou, you are up next, please.
Okay.
1 second while I post it. Here we go.
Thank you. The Telling, a collaboration between Eske and Ben Hart. Ben Hart and Eske, with each and every visit to the river, the stepping stones have moved. Blue-eyed magpies stare down from their threadbare bare trees, their silence never louder than now. Like any audience waiting for the inevitable slip, only applauding those who stayed to drown, blistered feet too hot to walk upon, feeling the even flow pull apart aching toes. The riverbank weeps with the willows, furious rapids with little time to listen, fill the stillness with an arrogant roar that echoes in the house above. Through the bends, like raging bulls in Barcelona, breakers beating down beaches like a drum. An army of one running through trenches on both sides of a battle between tides. There is no emaciated glaciers or hollowed out oceans could ever easily, like the simplistic symphony somewhere in the back of a woman, feet broken in a slaver's ballot, blue, all the way up to her black swan neck. An insignificant chapter in an infinite book where we thumb the pages in search of souvenirs like raindrops on frozen mountain leaves that snare the rising sun in resplendent dreams. Binding ice-capped mountain peaks reflecting infinity's perfect hue, pristine tears shed at the river's birth, baby steps on restless pilgrimage toward impatient oceans. The same water headed off for different destinations, be it in the river running whole or just the drop bestowed upon the unsullied tongue of a doe drinking till drunk. A nexus between worlds, showered in starfall and lightning stripes, and the aching scream of the violin, silence was silent, frozen there between the quiet crescendos. Mortality had unraveled into revolt against infinity. Gathering pace, innocence is lost against the rocks, spiraling in puzzled eddies of confusion. The relentless, inescapable pull of gravity on everything inevitably falls to climb. Kneeling at the river's tailing, purging turbidity with outstretched palm, the water seems to know these hands and whispers return to innocence. No further need for stepping stones built from the carcinogenic memories that remain alive only to oppose and to presume to tell the river where it may not go. In poem.
And would you mind reading the author's notes, please?
Okay. Two strangers meet on opposite sides of the same river. They become friends that can never fall into familiar arms again. I am a student. You are the master. But we call each other brother. That way our enemies know to try and break us up. They shouldn't, brother. Love you, brother, and thanks for giving a voice to the fight you had to endure. In post.
Beautiful read, Lee. And I really liked it. You know, it speaks to the fight and the battles that we all have to face and, you know, overcoming those, the battles. And, you know, you can't tell a river where to go. You know, that's just not going to happen. It always finds its way as it lays. And I thought it was just an excellent, deeply elemental, right, and very well written. Excellent read as well to you. Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Thank you.
Oh, beautiful read. This is a very, very complex piece. There's a lot of philosophical depth to it. I'm sure there is a very deep story that goes with this. I have a sense with the melancholy that is pervasive through this, that this talks about a deep sense of loss of someone that was of a spiritual kinship and whose absence is sorely felt. The last stanza, no further need for stepping stones built from carcinogenic memories that remain alive only to oppose and presume to tell the river where it may not go.
Yeah.
And I just get the sense that this is someone who has lost someone to a prolonged illness, and the grief is still quite fresh, and there is a profound a void and sense of loss. And it is so heartfelt and so heartrending. This is one of those pieces I'm going to tuck away and probably read several times over because it has such depth and layering to it and so profoundly and deeply emotional that you just can't digest one like this in one reading.
Absolutely. Astute comment, Bobby. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
So deep. This is. Does anybody else see an outline of a doe in the picture sipping water? Or is that just me? Have a look and tell me.
I see it also.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, that is so cool, isn't it? Just there, hidden, but so gentle and so peaceful as the river sort of flows each side of her. Lovely. showing you each side of the river as she quietly drinks. I think that is wonderful. I don't know where they got that picture, but that's incredible. And works so well with the poetry. Yes, it does speak of loss, doesn't it? And it speaks of respect. And no matter if you are on different sides of the river, there is absolutely no reason why you can't find a common goal, a common ground, a common river. You know, it's there. It can be done. We don't always have to be at odds with each other. I think that's beautiful. It's bringing two people together who obviously have a connection. And that last stanza, yes, again, brings everything to us, doesn't it? No further need for stepping stones built from carcinogenic memories that remain alive only to oppose and presume to tell the river where it may not go. Yes. Like you, Bobby, this is one I'm going to have to read and read because it has a lot of depth to it, but it was beautifully written and well done, chappies. So good.
Absolutely. Great comment, Weaver. I mean, yeah, great comment, Weaver. And Louie, what did you think?
You know, I really, it has an anime sort of look to the picture. Also, what I see in it also is when that doe that's drinking, when he looks in the water, he sees that faint reflection of his master. And what I liked about that is, you know, maybe it was an elderly person or an elder or somebody very dear and close to us, an uncle, an older friend, an older neighbor. And, you know, you go through this journey with them in life. And then you also go with them into that spiritual realm where you believe they're waiting or surviving. And I loved how he did that because this was like watching a Japanese anime movie, and it's so beautifully written that I actually could see some type of short movie of this being telling in a story, because whether it's just beautifully written, real or not, and how all of us have to at one time or another will be dealing with the loss. And does that river of love and the things that they taught us still flow within us?
Absolutely. Great comment, Lou. Thank you. Okay, I've got the next poem up. This is The Curse of Caliban by Stellina. And I have a SoundCloud for that.
What a deep chasm of black bile envenoms my heart, which, plucked from a vacuous shell in its last throes of life, planted seeds of sentience within this monstrous form. Even you, creator of my existence, feel revulsion. My malformed mien, a waking nightmare of fragmented anomalies, which my own soulless eyes regard in fractured realism, discarded to wander this world aimlessly amid naive musings, cold-shouldered and reviled by those from whom I sought succour. As guileless in my attempts, I searched for a kindred spirit to embrace, yet was I eluded, blinded by my constant craving for a tender touch. crusades forlorn remnants of humanity within this, my shattered psyche, as slowly the realism of my fate began to speak to me. Then rage began to course my veins, for I asked not to be born. I was only a pawn in your quest for acclaim and validation in your egocentric endeavor to play God, disregarding consequences. You recognized not and cared not for my plight, for my well-being. For the life you had breathed into me, my purpose now obsolete. Your guilt resounds with remorse through each of my diabolical deeds. You have cast me into purgatory, wreathed in dolor and despair. My lassitude for life calls for a farewell to the nearest scintilla of hope, for someone to see beyond the surface scars, these bilious blights, where the pernicious pangs of loneliness penetrate my sorry soul. Now, all hope has degraded in the curse you placed upon me, which writhes like seditious serpents within me, wreaking revenge. Thus, from the hands that forged me, let death come forth, thereby, in sweet solace, shall I abide evermore.
Beautiful read. That was a fascinating storyline. You know, it really speaks to, you know, this character of Caliban and his curse. You know, he seems like a Frankenstein character who's been brought into life, you know, without the life force behind it. And just a haunting, haunting poem, beautifully read as well. What did you think, Leah?
Oh, my God, I was totally enchanted. The way that he read those dark, agonizing words, you could just feel the emotions and, you know, somebody looking at where they were, regretting, you know, for what they were coming out, because whatever this curse, and I don't know if it's like, yeah, it looks like Frankenstein, but it, you know, how some people suffer so much. You know, this is so, also Edgar Allan Poe, I'm actually quite speechless as I'm having fine words to say, because I was just so deeply touched with that, you know, that stanza where even, you know, we have felt this way, you know, where the rage, it says, the rage began to course my veins, for I asked not to be born. I was only a pawn in your quest for acclaim and validation. You know, and even though this is a story that has been told before, I have never seen this personification and this deepness to give this creature, this person, this being that has come, oh my goodness, I asked that, you know, that for the life you had, breathe into me, my purpose now. Obsolete, your guilt resounds with remorse through each of my diabolical deeds. You know, it's just the pain. You can feel the pain is so deep. And I'm sorry for rattling. I had to take a pain pill, and I guess it's affecting me. So back to you, Greg. Sorry.
Thank you. Thank you, Lydia. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I think when I take a pain pill, I end up comatose. So you're doing pretty well.
Fabulous read.
This is a remarkable piece. She's fashioned the Shakespearean character, Caliban, from, I believe, The Tempest. The Tempest. He's a deformed man. I think he's half man, half beast. Of course, because of his deformities, he's persecuted, and all he is looking for in his life is human kindness, and it's denied him. He falls under the influence of Prospero, who torments him with magic, and it does have the same flavorings of the torment that Frankenstein's monster had, in that all he wanted was to be cared about and recognized and accepted for who and what he was. And the anguish that she brings forth in this piece is just, it's palpable. I mean, it just the deep sorrow and the anguish in this is just it is almost like a bloodletting. This is just a superb piece of writing, and I've tucked this one away in my favorites. I'm going to have to read this one because one reading does not do it justice.
No, it doesn't.
Absolutely. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Oh, yes, very, very compelling. This is from one of my favorite, this was written to one of my favorite shows, Penny Dreadful. And I thought in this particular character is in that show.
Yeah.
And I love that show so much. This is just perfect for that character because you feel horror but pity at the same time at this particular person. And so you understand exactly what he's suffering from, but what he does is so awful that, you know, it's just that balance. It's so wonderfully done. You know, you have the loathing and the love. You have the caring and the couldn't care less. Beautifully done. I particularly like my particular line. Yes, was I eluded, blinded by my constant craving for a tender touch, to sate forlorn remnants of humanity within this, my shattered psyche, as slowly the realism of my fate began to speak to me. Ah, wow. Now here's somebody that you bet doesn't shave a lot. Poor man. really, really beautifully done, Selena, and beautifully read. I loved it. It was just very clever and careful and wonderful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful comment, Beaver. Thank you. Okay, Bobby, I have your poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Some days you're going to believe me when I tell you I don't mind. You've commented on this one, Gray, but I've never had the opportunity to read this to Luyu. And I know she likes... Mm. Being a Native American, you like the parallel with the spirit animal and the human. And so I wanted to read this for you. And this is called Wild Hearts. The stars and the inspiration was the stars in his eyes hunted her down, but he fell prey to the wild in her heart. He was a lone wolf, always had been, not because he enjoyed solitude, but because he had tried to blend into the world before, and people continued to disappoint him. Truthfully, he found only like them if he had a chance to peer deep into their hearts. Otherwise, he was unable to live in society. He had no need to. He was sufficient unto himself. Still, he felt incomplete, lacking something, as though there was a piece of him missing. And he relentlessly sought that missing part in every pair of eyes he gazed into. She didn't abide by the rules, never had. She was someone who didn't know her place, or if she did, she simply didn't give a damn. Sometimes she would sit alone under the stars and think of the galaxies of passion inside her heart and wonder if anyone would ever truly want to share the essence of all that she was. Still, she felt incomplete, lacking something, as though there was a piece of her missing, and she relentlessly sought that missing part in every pair of eyes she gazed into. In the deep, still waters of the mind, they waited. Inescapably, the day came when their individual hungers, their desire and needs drove them out of the woods, and the two pair of eyes at last found each other. Arzen, his eyes, had tirelessly hunted her down, and he ultimately found her, that one out of the many, instinctively drawn to the lambent mysteries in her eyes. He was ensnared inescapably by the wildness in her heart. End poem.
Beautiful read. Beautiful read. And I mean, you know, your poem is filled with a deep reverence shared between two lovers that would ultimately be on their own without each other. And, you know, I thought it was just an epic poem and an epic read as well, Bobby. Well done.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Lee, what are your thoughts?
You know, I love the way you read this, Bobby. There was a different tone to your voice. There was a strength in there, yet a softness, and I just thought that was beautiful. And this poem is also beautiful. No matter what life you come back in, whether it be the wild or whether it be the cities, the concrete cities that we live in, you know, there's always something that instinctively calls into a searching for a past love. And
yeah,
when you finally see their eyes and that connection is meant, there is that instant spark of recognition. And, you know, and you always search for that. And, you know, especially as, like right here where I thought this was so beautiful, in the deep, still waters of the mind, they waited inescapably. The day came when their individual hunger, their desires and need drove them out of the woods, and the two pair of eyes at last found each other. Oh, I just like that anticipation where you know it's going to happen, but we hope you say it's going to happen. And it happened, and I loved it. A beautiful spiritual love story for now or to the past.
Thank you. I'm glad you liked it. I was hoping you would.
I did.
Absolutely. Great comment, Lee. Thank you. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Whoa-hoo. this is my kind of, right, I love this. It's got the sensuality, the love, the wondering, will he, won't he find what he needs? And then you get that last stanza. Just my favorite. It's already been quoted, so I won't bore you with reading it again. But yes, just really. Well, I don't like to bore, you know. It's easily done. I've heard myself.
No. It's fantastic to hear somebody repeat your poetry. It is. It's awesome.
It is.
Awesome thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so thank you very much for sharing that with all of us. I do love a nice lone wolf. I've been quite partial to them. I just love the fierceness, the knowing that you can never contain or control I like that so much. It's a bit like myself, in actual fact. But yes, just you could not have written anything better to point towards what, you know, what we feel about, well, wild animals, it can be so scary, but this is, you know, you immortalize this so well. I like the lone wolf. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing, Bobby. Okay, Weaver, I have your write-up, and you have a SoundCloud, so I will play that.
I was very ill, clinically dead for 2 minutes, and I came back to discover this ability that ruined my life. It enabled me to see into the nasty, dirty depths of depravity all around me.
Is that the right one?
I felt that a lot of my neighbors and friends had become alien to me. If you could read someone's mind by brushing against them, you'd become aware that people are dangerous deep down. Outwardly friendly, but inside, malevolent, evil, time-traveling aliens. Not everybody, but enough that I wanted to leave town. I'd always thought no one knew until tonight. As I stood at the bar, a hand touched mine. I heard in my mind, "Don't react. Stay calm, or we're both dead. Get to the car. We have to leave now." I turned to find, smiling, but with fear and terror in his eyes, my brother Sam. "Hi, Mum says supper's ready." We strolled out, then ran. We jumped into the car, it screeched away. Dad said, "You muttered you had heard about aliens in your sleep." I started then to prepare to leave town. So far, they're only here. Now we have to warn the world to be prepared. I was very ill.
I accidentally played your poem for tomorrow, so my apologies.
That's okay, my dear. No problem.
I was rolling up and down.
Your heat sears my throat.
And I'm still talking. What the hell am I saying? What is this one? This is the one I wrote. Yeah.
Do you have the right one, Gray?
Yeah, I do. I'm going to play that now.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
My eyes.
I knew it was...
Your lips taste my sweetness. I soften at your touch. My fingers find your strength. Your heat sears my body as I fan your desire for me. You lead as I follow, our hearts beating to the staccato ecstatic tempo of love.
Beautifully read. And, you know, this really captures the heart. Your love and your desire for this person is palpable throughout the write. Amazing read and amazing write, Weaver. And Louie, what are
Thank
your thoughts?
You.
Thank you. You know, I thought this was a beautiful read, Katie. I loved that picture that you added to this. It's an old Valentine with these lace cutouts of hearts and flowers. It was just gorgeous. I could actually visualize that picture in my head as you were reading this. I really, you know, where you said your heat sears my body and I fan your desire for me. And, you know, I could just see somebody just like being read this poem and they're just fanning themselves with this to try and cool down those flaming desires. But I thought this was beautiful. It was a lovely, love, romantic love poem, and I loved it.
Thank you.
Great comment, Lee. Thank you. And Bobby, what did you think?
Oh, this is a gorgeous brevity that just captures everything that you sense in romance when you're with the person that you really, really care about. It's a very, very short, very, very passionate love letter.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. And Weaver, would you like to say anything about your poem?
Not really. I I get so embarrassed. I think, who is that lewd person writing these things? This is so rude. No. I think it's a bit better than the one you heard before about the aliens. So it wasn't quite as... it's a little bit different, yes. I think this one fits the scenario a little bit better, doesn't it? Oh, my. Okay. Thank you so much for all your kind comments. Most appreciated.
Absolutely, and thank you for sharing, Weaver. Okay, so I've got the next poem up. This is by J.K. Emack, and it's called The Future is a Blunder. Tick, tock, an arrow marks the spot. The timer strikes 2400 o'clock. Warped, blown, and flung into a continuum of moving space, a body thins in the throes of flashing through lights and beepers, beep, propelling forward. A body lands in a foreign land, Andromeda winks from the sky. Sun blazes in blue lights, but the sky reflects no light. A man in a spacesuit waves a flag, informing us he's landed. In the distance, a tentacled beast slithers along with a row of snails. The spaceman slips on its slime. Dread settles on an explorer. He wonders where the once green and blue place he called home has gone. The vision once thought of, the future dreamt of, is not what the eyes lay upon. This crushing weight begins to weigh heavy on a mortal brain. Feet scurry to the machine, for they belong in 2022. A man is met with anticipatory faces with the come down and land. He walks off as grim silence is all he can muster. End poem. And I liked it. You know, this man steps out of a time machine into this empty space where some creature slithers and he slips in its slime. And he wakes up and he looks up and wonders where the green and blue have gone. And, you know, it's the future. And the future doesn't forebode well. So, hence the title of the poem. The poem, The Future is a Blunder. And I thought you captured the essence of time travel quite beautifully. What did you think, Liu?
Oh, this kind of reminded me of Alice in the Glass, Alice in Wonderland. It had that flavor of the cinema, you know, where she falls through the looking glass and then she's in another universe. I also liked the, and then I also thought of, science characters where we would still monsters kill each other and the people are seen running away, and it's just such a bad B movie, but you love it. And that's what this was, fantastic science fiction mixed in a little bit for me for Alice in Wonderland, and it was a fun read. What a trip.
Great comment, Lou, thank you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I'm having flashbacks of Ray Bradbury tonight. This has the flavor of, I believe the short story he wrote was A Distant Sound of Thunder. And it basically, and it's actually, I think people don't realize it's where the term the butterfly effect comes from. And it's about it's a future where time travel for vacation is permitted, but it's very tightly controlled, and something happens on one of the trips, and of course it completely alters the future, and when the people come back, everything is different. And that's what it made me think of, is how you can go back, and once you come back, is everything the same, or is it what you're expecting? Or and then the last stanza, a man is met with anticipatory faces. To come down and land, he walks off as grim silence is all he can muster. And it just, it's like he's not coming back to the same world, or the world he is coming back to, he knows is doomed. And it's very dark. It's a very good, storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and it says, the prompt was a time travel picture. So I say, well done. Good interpretation of the prompt.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Bobby. Thank you. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Oh, yes. This is a scary, scary ride. You know what it's like if you get on the train and you've got on the wrong train and you end up in Scunthorpe. This is 20 million times worse. Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry, I'm reading this as we go along. Oh, I just love it so much. We've got the tentacle beast slithering along with rows of snails. Why would you have to add snails to that? The space line is like slime. I mean, dreadful. Dread settles on an explorer as he wonders where the once green and blue place he called home had gone to. I'm not surprised if he's surrounded by tentacle beasts that have growing snails. Wow. No,
well, you
got to
have
that. Yeah. I'm off. If this crushing weight begins to weigh us all down too terribly, I'm off back onto the machine. I'll go back to 2022, even though it's awful. There's no things with tentacles. Oh, yeah. This is beautifully. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be laughing. I am so bad. Oh, I'm not laughing, JK. I'm not. I'm laughing at myself. I'm not laughing at this.
No,
it's just I'm enjoying it so much. And it's pictures in my head. And that's the problem, you see. You've drawn these pictures in my mind that I'm reacting to. And I have a thing about tentacle beasts and an even more thing about snails. So, you know, you've hit the mark there, my boy. I go out and throw them over the fence. I send them on holiday. Chuck them over the fence. You shouldn't have my life. Oh my goodness, I've actually told people. I'm so sorry. So yes, the future is a blunder. Stay away from it. Go backwards. Yes. I love this so much. It's given me a lot of thoughts and fun and shivers and all the things you expected it to, JK. So thank you so much for sharing.
Absolutely. Okay, I've got the next poem up. This is by Arcana Amor, and it's called The Portal to My Mind. He has a SoundCloud. Okay, here we go.
Lies just beyond, almost within reach, yet forever untouchable. I gaze upon it, seeking stranded semblances of something familiar I prefer to recognize. Yet with tortured breath, I question this vision. Is it something real, or merely fake facades? I search within each distant detail, looking for something much more than echoes, a sign of sentience from somewhere deep within, that stares back through a drowning void, choosing to act afar in motioned metaphors that mimic and mock in mirrored mimes. This place of seduction that intrinsically entices inviting the beholder to venture within, to melt between realms and merge thereafter into a beckoning visage that yields out yonder, then morphs into reflections of residual reality, where illusions, divisions, delusions collide. I watch each hour, each day, each year, as details change in deepening depictions, etched in faint memories of bygone borders that wave back at me with beseeching beguile, tempting imagined images be conjured and coaxed to summon me forth into alluring alternatives. As a portal portrays pictures from inside my mind.
Wow, what a fascinating write and read. You know, there's a world that lies just beyond, almost within reach, yet forever untouchable. I gaze upon it, seeking stranded semblances of something familiar I already recognize. Yet, with tortured breath, I question this vision. Is it something real or merely fake facades? You know, when you venture into your mind and you don't know what's real and what's not, that's a haunting thing. And then I really liked his ending, to summon me forth into alluring alternatives as a portal portrays pictures from inside my mind. Yeah, just a beautiful poem, excellently written and well read as well. And congratulations on your gold medal in the Fantasy Through the Portal contest. Excellent write, excellent read. What did you think, Leah?
You know, I really like this gothic, dark era. You know, it's just like he brings that back to life, and you can just breathe and move along with him in each of these lines, and the emotions, you know, that yet with tortured breath I question this vision, you know, that looking glass vision, that haunting, and you know, the torture and agony of trying to figure out where you are now, because you've got that dual mirror, and you're questioning and what you're seeing, and I also liked with like a where it says that the mock in the mirrored mind is a place of seduction that intrinsically entices, you know, where you have that desire to just to go and just reach through that realm of darkness. And I thought this was just fantastically pinned as read, and congratulations on your medal too.
Absolutely beautiful comment, Lee. Thank you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I thought this was a fantastic piece of writing. It well deserving of the gold. I mean, he pulled the gold on one of our most recent contests too. So I've done some corresponding with him. I love his style of writing. He's very imaginative. He takes and what he does is the epitome of a crisis. He takes a pictorial prompt and just spins the hell out of it. I mean, this is almost psychedelic in the way that he has approached his image in this mirror. He's looking at it as more than a mere reflection. It's a portal. It is an alternative universe. It's an alternative personality, and the way he has woven this together, I mean, his command of language, clearly well executed, his metaphors, his descriptions. I mean, I really, really enjoy his writing. It's superb storytelling from start to finish. I've tucked this one away in my favorites already.
Great comment, Bobby. Thank you. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
You said that with a bit of trepidation, but I'm going to be very good, I promise. Arcana Amor knows how much I think of his work. I think it's fantastic. I admire him very much for the work he does. And this, his voice lulled me. It just allowed me to enjoy the story he told me. Oh, it was just so deep, so... the sensuality is there. It's just there in the sound of his voice. But the words, I just loved it. I just think it was just so beautifully done. As you say, metaphor and meanings and the thought of gazing into that world that you can't touch, that seems as real to you as everything around you is, but you can't enter it. You can't touch it. You can only watch as it evolves and changes, and you can't have anything really to do with it except the fact that it's in your mind, and it's being projected in your mind, and you can't get there to do anything. So I just thought it, I'm sorry, I'm rambling, but I just thought it was wonderful. And so thank you so much, Arcana.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. Okay, I've got the next poem up. This is by Errant Panther, and it is called Facets of Love Defined. And he has a SoundCloud, so we'll play that.
Facets of Love Defined by Errant Panther. Breath lingering as a docile wisp of life, finding sanctuary beneath the transcendent waltz of a star-encrusted sky. The scent of rose, lavender, and patchouli, twirling upon errant breezes, playfully, like a little ballerina practicing in the garden before her next recital. Nerves twitch as soldiers of faith wend their way through unknown pores and sinew, until the restlessness itself becomes an assurance that it's all worthwhile. Coveted verses, reaching up from dusty pages, stir the senses of memory as tenderly as cashmere and lace might evoke nostalgic scenes that dance before weary eyes like a private theatre performance. And yet, within all these moods, there's a cohesiveness, intangible and ever-present, like the hum of traffic on a distant highway, a sensation we label in cursory breaths as love. End poem.
Wow, that was a wonderful read. It was great to hear his voice. But, this speaks to the different facets of love, you know, all the makings of love. Breaths lingering as a docile wisp of life, finding sanctuary beneath the transcendent waltz of a star-encrusted sky. The scent of rose, lavender, and patchouli twirling upon errant breezes playfully like a little ballerina practicing before in the garden before her next recital. I mean, just amazing imagery, and, you know, I like the thought behind it of love being a jewel that's faceted. And, you know, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly that love has facets. So this is a beautiful poem. And an excellent read as well. Lee, what are your thoughts?
You know, he was writing about the different variations of the word love, and I thought that he did this so fabulously. I could listen to all those different accents all day long between Selena and Arcana and Errant Panther. Oh, my goodness. You know, I'm... Here, I did fall in love with this Santa, because I there's something about the smells and how something feels, and then that little thing, that childlike beauty that you can find in someone else. The scent of rose and lavender and patchouli twirling upon errant breezes playfully, like a little ballerina practicing in the garden before her next recital. This was just like smelling, a laced crochet, and you just look at all the interest keys, and I just so many different thoughts come in my, the breezes and the joy of watching the person you love. It's just fabulous.
Great comment, thank you, Lee. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
This was an amazing ride. You got some great stuff tonight. This ride postulates that the word or term love is an oversimplification for an all-encompassing, all-consuming feeling or emotion, mm-hmm. and proceeds to just gives us a sampling of the different aspects of the thing that we call love, the tactile, sensory, emotion, just everything about it, and does it very artfully, and I think it's a very evocative piece.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Thank you, Bobby. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Oh, yes, this is beautiful. I love nerves twitch as soldiers of faith wend their way through unknown pores and sinew until the restlessness itself becomes an assurance that it's all worthwhile. That, haven't we? We felt that, hang on, this is a bit intense. Is this something I can cope with? Is this something I can do? Is it going to be too much? And then you realize, no, it's not. It's perfect. It makes you feel alive. And it's all worthwhile. So I thought this was beautifully written. Mm-hmm. And yes, I did love that accent, that Aussie accent. Hello. Very nice. Quite incongruous, but wonderful. Yes. Thank you so much, Erin Panther, and I love your handle.
Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. Okay, I've got the next poem here, and this is called On a Country Road in the Summer, and it's by Swan Song. A winding road curves through the foothills where grasses come almost waist high, speckled with common sunflowers and sweet clover on the stony edge of the simple pavement. Within the clouds, a soft rumbling, and on occasions, a whiplash of lightning dances across the prairie. The sun finger paints its gold and yellow through soft blue clouds. Flycatchers perch on cattails where the pond is covered with swamp weed and moss. Dragonflies skirt above the black waters and see their long blue bodies clearly in its reflection. Pipers along the mud-caked shoreline dig deep, dip their long beaks and walk on their stick legs until they bob again. I stride slowly as one stray frog lets out a croak a little too early, while the path of a muskrat is followed by the long coil of a simple water snake with yellow streaks down its body. Ahead of my wandering eyes, an abandoned farmhouse looms larger with each step, gray curtains left behind flutter out the window. A few pigeons gather near the broken chimney. An old tire swing dangles from a large elm tree as wheat wavers freely with each gust of wind, and dueling meadowlarks sing from leaning posts in the slow heat of the day. And poem. His imagery and descriptors were fantastic. I really liked his, the sun finger paints its gold and yellow through soft blue clouds. flycatchers perch on cattails where the pond is covered with swamp weed and moss. Dragonflies skirt above the black waters and see their long blue bodies clearly in its reflection. You know, just a beautiful poem with amazing imagery. And it was a wonderful walk along this country road with him. So well done. Thank you, Swan Song. And Lee Wilder, what did you think?
You know, this is, just like I agree with everything you said, this just reminded me of a video of Case that is going, writing and looking out through a window, you know, in a card, just something late 50s and 60s vision where the windows would be rolled down and you would, you know, there was no seatbelt. And, just slowly driving and just, you know, stopping every once in a while to go look at something, just walking these flowers and the scents and the animals. There's just, you could literally comment on each stanza because there's something so breathtakingly beautiful in there. You know, he talks about the muskrats and the snakes and the different birds and finches and the trees and, you know, when you drive by and, you know, these old country roads and you see houses that have been abandoned and, those pigeons that I like that just tend to always sit more at house and there's like 100 of them on the line. And, you know, I just thought this was very vivid and he took me there. It's like walking the nature channel. Well, well, Penn Swan Song.
Great comment, Lee. Thank you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Oh, this is definitely our friend Swan Song. I haven't heard or read anything by him in a while, and I'm pleasantly reminded about how magnificently he captures nature and the environment, and it is in such exquisite detail that he puts you right in the setting. This man has an appreciation of nature on a parallel with Thoreau. Just the way he writes about wilderness and the environment, he really is magnificent. And this is no different. I mean, I stride slowly as one stray frog lets out a croak a little too early, while the path of a muskrat is followed by the long coil of a simple water snake with yellow streaks down its body. I mean, you could see all of this. It's just an exquisite word painting. And it just all of his work is so very like this. I mean, it is just it's a nature walk to read his stuff.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. And Weaver, what did you think?
Yes, you were there with him, weren't you? I just gently guided you mm-hmm. along a beautiful walk with no horrible traffic going past and nobody hooting horns, just the sun and the flycatchers and the dragonflies. Beautifully, beautifully evoked. I thought it was lovely. It kind of reminded me of radio that we have here, Radio 4, where they have country file kind of thing, but on radio. So they're walking about the country and they're describing it to you. And you wouldn't think that would work, but it does. And this does too, because you get the images in your mind as you're taken along and weave so beautifully. I thought it was wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing.
Absolutely. Great comments. Thank you. Okay, I've got the next poem up here. This is by Poetic Picasso, and it's called Butterfly Lips, and he has a SoundCloud, so I'll play that. Here we go.
If I could fly away with you to the amber glint of a morning dawn, hide in the color of your violet beauty, of springtime with my wings, sip from the sweet nectar, from the velvety petals of your purple lips, caress the gentle touch of your blossoming flower forever. I wish I could feel the rhythmic beating of your heart, see the dewy glow radiating from your sparkling eyes, dance with the harmony of your orchestral voice within the romantic shimmer of the dip of the twilight. I make your blushing cheeks swoon with the passion of my words, waiting to be enraptured with my soothing seduction. I am the taste of a mulberry kiss, full of an evening succulence, a nightly champagne to entice, and the intoxication of your drinking. Love is sleeping in the embrace of your violet petals, washing away the sad tears of yesterday's rain, comforting you with the lullaby of my flapping wings. As you press gradually against my butterfly lips, eres mi sed y yo soy tu vino. You are my thirst, and I am your wife. You are my thirst, and I am your wine. In the boom.
Beautiful read and a very touching poem filled with reverence and desire. You know, it's passionate and engaging throughout the write. It really carries you through until the very end where he says, you are my thirst and I am your wine. Yeah, beautifully done, Frank. Luya, what did you think?
You know, when I was listening to the music and then reading the words and listening, for me, the music, piano keys, was this beautiful, fragrant, light touch, floral scent, a fingertip just floating through memories in this person's body, with using their mind and teasing the soul, enticing the pleasures, and his. But then with that light, sweet scent, there's a deeper musk, a deeper patchouli that is this passion where his wording, it says, hide in the color of your velvet beauty of springtime with my wings, sip from the sweet nectar from the velvety petals of your purple lips. And there's that erotic, you know, heart beating passion in that stanza that is mixed in with, you know, those dark, deep notes with the high notes. This was beautiful and very erotic and sensual.
Well said. Thank you, Leah. And Bobby, what did you think?
I think this is one of Frank's more ethereal pieces. With the title of Butterfly Lips, it suggests delicate, light, fragile, something that should be handled with reverence. And even though there is a deep, abiding passion threaded through it, there's still that reluctance to do anything except cradle and nurture the feeling like a butterfly. And it comes through in the writing with its delicacy. It's a beautifully written piece.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful comment, Bobby. Thank you. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
definitely, definitely very seductive. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was so gentle. And as you said, that sensuality is there, but subtle and just so sweetly written. I thought it was beautiful. Wouldn't you love that to be written to you? Love is sleeping in the embrace of your violet petals, washing away the sad tears of yesterday's rain. Lovely. Mm-hmm. And on a slightly lighter note, it's even made my butterfly tattoo blush. Thank you.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you, Sherry. And Liu, would you mind reading the next piece, please?
All right. And this is titled Dogged Young Puppies by Giacomo. Dogged young puppies and crazy wild kittens, deep tabby claw marks on chewed up wool mittens, black plastic seat bags off failing to seal, they are the problems of their part of the deal. Cream colored Persians, fluffy white poodles, dog smells and cattails and urine stained poodles. Stuffies with flies with a ball in their teeth. Litter trays bulging with solid leaves. When the cat lips and the puppy nips. When I'm turned to, I pick up and cuddle those happy young teeth. And then I won't feel so slow.
Well done. Wonderful.
I wasn't expecting to do that, but that's where it went.
Well, it definitely has a lyrical kind of whimsy to it, this poem. I like the reflecting on, you know, dogs and cats and the roles that they have in their life. And even those black paper or black scat bags that fail to seal are the problems in their part of the deal. Yeah, I thought it was a wonderful write on the subject of puppies and kittens. Beautifully done. Well read. Great singing as well. Bobby, what did you think?
Oh, I thought this was thoroughly enjoyable. A wonderful piece of levity and whimsy. And puppies and kittens, I've always maintained, are the product that sells themselves. So, you know, any kind of baby beast, I don't care what it is, usually, you know, the awe factor is way up there. So this is really a very charming write.
Great. All right. Thank you. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Oh, so well done. That was brilliant. I hadn't actually read Sung to Raindrops on Roses from the Sound of Music, you see. So I had gone down past that, and you started to read it. And then just as you started to sing, I got it. And I thought, oh, my goodness. And then I went up, oh, well, now I get it. But so beautiful, you couldn't help it, could you? You couldn't help it. It was so well written that you had to sort of dive into the song. I thought it was beautifully done. So well done. It just brought it to life. I thought very clever. Very clever and a very nice piece of poetry. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, and thank you for the song.
Thank you. Exactly. Okay, so I'm going to grab the next poem here. And when you see this, Bobby, would you mind reading for Village of Tall Rick?
No, I don't mind. Okay, let's see what we got going on here. Close that, open that. Okay. Blood, sweat, and fears. Okay. Wichita Rick. Okay. New dawn, new day, cup of joe to begin the day, starting in line, helping to create more urban decay. Waiting out winters, feeding the flock, spring warmth brings, bringing ceaseless hours for that new crop. Daily mail brings new news while men in a truck pick up the muck, while another prepares to make repairs while caught up in the drudgery. Clerks and cashiers line up with peers at home behind desks or registers, more and more simply wanting to beat that clock. Many in uniform protecting the rest from the next storm, defending all of us and themselves stubbornly. Famous factories forged many generations in fire, painting a lifestyle for many to admire, building a nation's foundation in solid rock. Times change full circle to a broad range. Equal rights brings new light, hoping to help move many upwardly. Wheels of rubber or of steel, always moving, ready to help seal a deal. Someone at the helm across the nation or around the block. Many more labor with lumber like ants on erector sets, from floors to steeple, finalizing with grass and shrubbery. Miles of coastline, mean fishermen don't flounder. Line or net, they get what they get, anything to feed the ever-growing flock. Others eager to learn, for new knowledge they do yearn. Teachers take on the task to guide the classrooms, fortunately. So paid in sweat, equity, or in blood for the brood, many gather at the end of the day, but never forget to tip the barmaid or tender at your local brewery. End poem.
Awesome. Would you mind reading the author's notes, Bobby?
A little fun for Labor Day. Maybe could have went, okay. Could have went another way, and thoughts for all those calluses and bulging discs or grief. Some of our bodies pay for that payday. Happy Labor Day. Peace.
Great read, Bobby. And I liked it. You know, it's definitely got a reverential aspect to it of the working man and all the roles that he plays in our life. And I thought it was just a wonderful tribute to Labor Day itself. So beautifully read and written. What did you think, Lee?
Well, I really enjoyed this, you know, that he wrote this for Labor Day. And, you know, that's a time to, you know, to hopefully, because some people just don't care, but, you know, there are those who do, you know, to, you know, you just, how people have to make their paycheck, you know, how, you know, I liked also how he, I also felt like there was a period, a piece that could go back and forth where our nation is growing and, you know, the rights that everybody's trying to make sure that everyone's respected, no matter what their race or religion or, you know, just to be able to have their own life. And I thought he caught this so well because you could just see, smell, you know, hear each paragraph and visually see what he was talking about as you read through each stanza. It is just wonderful, considerate, you know, in for us to be grateful because, you know, where would we be without these people in our lives and these teachers in our lives and nurses and everything? You know, of course, at the end of Friday, Good Friday, you want to go tap it off with a good beer after getting some rest. And I really thought that he caught that imagery here right here for me with many more labor with lumber like ants on erector sets, from floors to steeple, finalizing with glass, grass and shrubbery. You know, you could just see that. And then the next one he takes us, you know, to the coastline. Miles of coastline, mean fishermen don't flounder, line or net, they get with. They get and anything to feed the never ending flock. You know, it was like the voice of working America, and I just thought it was just, I thought it was wonderful.
Absolutely, great comment, Lou. Thank you. And Bobby, what did you think?
Well, I was trying to dash off a quick comment here, so I will read it. Clever, imaginative rite that passes through a panoply of vocations, occupations, educations, inclinations, all adorned with nimble verbal and vocabulary gymnastics.
Great comment. Thank you, Bobby. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Well, I agree with what Bobby said. Thank you, Bobby. The end. Thank you. That's all I say. No, it was wonderful. It was so wonderful. We don't even, you know, we all should remember who it is that keeps our world turning round. And it's not politicians, and it's not lords and ladies. It's the people who do their job, thankless tasks, most of them, and they do it. And, you know, thankfully, because otherwise we would be in deep doo-doos. So beautifully written.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Great comment, Weaver. Okay, so we've got 3 minutes left. I don't know if we should try to fire off one more poem or not. What do you think, Leah?
I don't think so, because then he won't be able to see the written comments in the group or get to hear the callers, you know, give their comments. So that's the next Monday.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Well, I'd like to thank all you wonderful ladies for calling in and sharing your hearts, your minds, your voices, and most especially your time with me and Lou Yu. It was great having you all. Thank you for calling in. Much love, everybody.
Thank you, Bobby. Thank you, Weaver. Thank you, Gray. Love you guys.
Ciao.
Me too.
Ciao. Buenas noches. Good night.
Nighty night.
Good night, everyone.